Radio.
The Faith of Pope Francis. A talk by Father Andrew Hamilton, SJ, at Evenings with Pope Francis.
First of all, it's great to be here at Milpera today. I spent a year in Sydney, and at that stage, there was just a lot of Christian living camps just beginning. And a lot of the schools around Sydney involved, we used to go with them. But there was, particularly I remember, there was Benilde in Bankstown, and there was a girls' school in Milpera, and girls and the boys from those camps came together. But I always wondered where Milpera was. And so here, about 40 or so years later, I now know Milpera. So it's good to be with you. Talking about Francis then, I think the main thing I think about Francis is not so much what he says, it's what he does. And what he does has been consistently surprising. That if you could think back, you know, he surprised people by the simple dress he wore when he was Pope instead of putting on the full papal clobber. That when he came out on the balcony, he said the equivalent of good day to people rather than something more elaborate. That he gave people's blessing, but first of all, he asked them for their blessing after he was made Pope. That when he went back to where he came from the hotel where he came from, or the guest house or whatever it was, instead of going in the papal car, he went back in the bus with the other cardinals. You know, all of these things were remarked on, weren't they, if you think back to it. Then he decided to live in a guest house, you know, horror, horror. And then come Holy Thursday then, he celebrated Holy Thursday in a young person's detention centre. And not only that, when it came to washing feet, he washed the feet of a few women, and one of them was a Muslim. And again, there's discussion. Surprising. You know, people were surprised. What was he up to? What was he doing? And later on then, I think one of the most significant things he did, I think, was he visited the island of Lampedusa, which is a bit like Christmas Island. It's close to the North African coast, and asylum seekers and others who want to come to Europe sail boats there, and many of them die on the way. And it's a very controversial place in Italy. But Pope Francis went there, and not only went there, he held a service there with the detainees, a mass, and not only a service, it was a penitential service. And it was penitential for the way in which asylum seekers and others were received in the West. And just imagine a church person doing that on Christmas Island. You know, that was surprising. It was big stuff. But he did it, and he carried off. And of course, I think the altar that he said Mass on was made of the boats, as part of the wrecked boats on which people had sailed and died. So it was a very moving occasion. Then at World Youth Day, he took time off, of course, to visit one of the disreputable slums in the area, disreputable to those from outside it. And when he came back from World Youth Day, he gave an open press conference. You know, no prepared questions, just people could ask what he liked and he would answer off the cuff. And for most public figures, something like that is just inconceivable. It's not controlled enough. So these are some of the things that Pope Francis has done. And again, when he speaks off the cuff, and people often misunderstand him, but then he usually corrects it. So that's some of the things about Pope Francis. So they're all surprising. So a question I find myself asking is, why does he do it? And not just why does he do it, why does he decide to do it today and tomorrow, but where does that come from in him? why would someone who's made Pope carry on in this sort of way? Why would he break all the molds? So where does it come from? It must come from pretty deep, because he's confident enough to do it and he keeps on doing it. And what's it all about? Where does it come from? And the answer to that, of course, is that it expresses his faith, that it expresses Pope Francis's way of being Catholic and his way of expressing Catholic faith. So if we're talking about St. Francis and faith, then it's of the ways in which faith means lots of things. At least it has lots of aspects. And the one which for Pope Francis is most important is faith as it hits the heart. What's our faith? What moves our heart most deeply? What touches our heart most deeply in faith? That's what he's interested in. And not just, so if I suppose there's three parts of faith, very crudely, there's faith in the head, and there's faith in the heart, and there's faith in the hands. And faith in the head is, that's the what of faith. What do we believe? And is it reasonable to believe it? And how does it fit together? That's the what of faith. But that's the faith in the head, which the head is working with. The faith in the heart is one of the questions which will be asked later in another talk. What do you treasure? You know, if faith is a pearl that you keep, it's so precious that you would sell everything for it, well, what is that treasure? So that's faith in the heart. Faith is a treasure, something that is important enough for us that it changes our whole life. So that's, I think, the area that Francis is interested in, or that's what he emphasises. I mean, he's interested in the other, but that's what he emphasises. And faith in the hands, of course, is faith as you express it in daily life. Faith in the hands is what you see when someone takes the gospel very, very seriously, I guess, and lives poorly in another country, working with people there. And if it's faith that leads them to do that, that's faith in the hands. Or faith in the hands is what makes us that when we really have a great social life, but if someone in our family needs real care, say an elderly relative has a stroke or whatever, or a younger relative is in some ways handicapped, that faith in the hands is what might make us turn our attention and our hands and our care to that person. So that's faith in the hands. And so I think what Pope Francis is, if you're asking about Pope Francis's faith, his faith then, the question you want to ask is, what's touched his heart most deeply in faith, and then how does that express itself in what he does? You with us on that? Because that's a fairly, you know, that idea I think is a fairly important one, the various ways of speaking about faith. And I think it's probably fair to say on that both Pope Benedict and Pope Francis, I wouldn't say there are differences between them, but there's no gaps between them. But whereas for Pope Benedict, it's the faith in the faith of the head, that intellectual aspect of faith which was most important, and he emphasised that, didn't deny the importance of faith in the heart, but it's for Pope Francis, he takes for granted that it is the Catholic faith which he holds and which he teaches, that's taken for granted, but it's what touches him most deeply in the heart. That's the question to be asking about him. So the question then is, how does Francis's faith work? And the way I would see it, and in his own words really, that the centre of Francis's faith is its faith in a God, at least the faith is in himself being a sinner, but a sinner on whom God has had compassion and has called him, to follow Jesus. So it's about being a sinner, but a sinner who is called to follow Jesus out of the compassion of God. And so those three things going together, that sin, God's compassion, and calling. And perhaps I'll read Francis's own words here. And this comes from a... I'll try and get this microphone right too. That this comes from a recent interview. And the I in it is the I of the interviewer asking the question. I asked Pope Francis point blank, who is Jorge Mario Bergoglio? He stares at me in silence. I ask him, if I might ask him this question. He nods and replies, I don't know what might be the most fitting answer. I'm a sinner. This is the most accurate definition. It's not a figure of speech, not a literary genre. I am a sinner. The Pope continues to reflect and concentrate as if he didn't expect this question, as if he were forced to reflect further. Yes, perhaps I can say that I'm a bit clever, that I can adapt to circumstances, but it's also true that I'm a bit naive. Yes, but the best summary, the one that comes more from the inside and which I feel more true, is this. I am a sinner whom the Lord has looked upon. And he repeats, I am the one who is being looked upon by the Lord. I always felt my motto, and that's miserando aequi eligendo, which means by being compassionate and by choosing him, was very true for me. So I am a sinner, but then I'm a sinner whom the Lord looked upon with compassion. So those two things going together, but then, and then choosing, so calling him. So I'll just dwell on that for a moment, because if we're talking about sin, there's two ways in which sin can be central for your life. Now, if you take sin seriously, you can do it in two ways. And one of them is the way Francis does it, and the other is the other. So one way to think of ourselves as a sinner is to beat up on us ourselves, to say, you know, I'm a worm, I'm worthless, I'm a waste of space, and I need to atone for all the wrong I do, and I can never meet God's expectations, let alone my own expectations of myself. So it's that feeling of real worthlessness, because you just do wrong all the time. And I think if that's your attitude, or that's our attitude, then we're preoccupied with sin, and we're preoccupied with ourselves. And that attitude is usually paralyzing, because the more you have those expectations, the more you fail, then the more worthless you feel. And then you try to do better. You say, I'll try to do better, and you try, and it doesn't work, and then you feel worse. But also, the more and more you just concentrated upon yourself as a sinner. And if you pray to the Lord for forgiveness, you don't even look at the Lord, you're looking at yourself. So does that make sense? Ever tried that? I can give you a history of my trying that, surely. But so that's the first approach to sin. The The second is, I think, that of Pope Francis, which is to recognise your failure and your sin and your own hardness, and to take that really seriously, to be totally honest about it, to acknowledge it. But the main thing, though, is that when you look at that, you're just overwhelmed by God's compassion. That really what just catches your heart is that I am like this, and God loves me, and God accepts me, and God hasn't got any expectations. So it's that wonder, you just wonder, full of wonder at the love and the compassion of God, who has no expectations. And so you focus then, if your prayer isn't to be asking for forgiveness, because you know God forgives you, but your prayer is one of gratitude to God. And when you live with great freedom, because there's no expectations on you, that if people expect something of you, well, let them expect it. But you respond to God as generously as you can. But life isn't about meeting expectations. Meeting is about being overwhelmed by God's love and compassion and by gratitude for it. See the difference between the two? One's very self-focused, the other is very much focused on the goodness and compassion of God. And so if that's the case, I think that's where Pope Francis is coming from, and it makes a lot of sense of what he does. So the heart of faith then, for ourselves then, if you're asking what's the heart of faith, or if you asked Francis what is the heart of faith, the heart of faith really has to do with compassion. It's God's compassion for us in Jesus, and it's our compassion to one another as brothers and sisters of Jesus. Christian faith works itself out in compassion. It's being overwhelmed and grateful for God's compassion, and that reflected in our own compassion to one another. That's, for Francis, I think, when the way in which the heart goes into the hands, that's how it does it, from gratitude into compassion. And what he does then, and also what he says about the church and says about our lives, it has something to do with compassion. That when he emphasises going out, if you want a slogan, I suppose you'd say, use it or lose it. That having faith it's not about saving faith. It's not about keeping your faith. That's not the important thing. The important thing is to live the faith. And so he's got those lovely lines, hasn't he, when he says, I'd far prefer the worst thing for the church can be is stuffy and turned in on itself. That you remain safe that way, but you get sick. I would far prefer, he says, an accident-prone church. And accident-prone because people go out and they may make mistakes, but that's the way to go. That's the kind of church. And again, I'll just quote a little bit. He's so good with little images and things. His language is so simple. He says, I see clearly that the thing the church needs most today is the ability to heal wounds and to warm the hearts of the faithful. It needs nearness, proximity. I see the church as a field hospital after a battle. It is useless to ask a seriously injured person if he has high cholesterol and about the level of his blood sugars. You have to heal his wounds. Then we can talk about everything else. Heal the wounds, heal the wounds. And you have to start from the ground up. The church sometimes has locked itself up in small things, in small-minded rules. The most important thing is the first proclamation, Jesus Christ has saved you. And the ministers of the church must be ministers of compassion above all. So you get the idea of a field hospital is not the church safely behind walls or in the city. It's out on the battlefield. It's where people are. And it's about going out and healing people. It's a great image, isn't it? The hospital, the battle hospital where people, the wounded, are taken in for healing. And I think, again, in that quotation too, you can see, you can begin to see why perhaps Francis may have, the first thing that he did really on Holy Thursday was to go to the detention centre. And then he welcomed everybody and washed the feet of a whole range of people. That's very like, isn't it? That's very like the hospital. That's like the field hospital. That it's you don't try and be like a cathedral in that situation. That to be a field hospital means you do the first and most important things, which is to bring God's compassion to people in the hard situations where they are. So that's the first. So that going out, compassion always goes out, and in Francis' understanding, that's how it works. It's always using the parable of the Good Samaritan. Second thing then is second point. Then the second thing about living compassion for him is the way I would put it. Is it to say, don't just defend the faith, commend it. So defending, commending means make it look good. Don't just defend the faith, commend it. And I think so for Francis then, the church is a church for all the people. It's for all the sheep. He's always using sheep images. And it's for the smelly sheep as well as the other sheep, if there are any other sort of sheep except smelly sheep. So that's so if you're dealing with a church which is very broad, then the key thing is to present the faith, embody the faith, not always to speak, but through your actions, through your lives. It's to make faith, make the church look attractive. So commend it. And the way he sees, above all, to commend the faith to people is by being compassionate to them. And is that true of your own experience, I wonder? I'll leave it for the question time afterwards. But that compassion is shown really in little things, isn't it? It's by noticing. It's when someone's speaking, it's looking beyond the words and it's catching the anxiety, or it's catching the lostness, or it's catching almost the catch of the voice, which lies behind the words. So you're responding people not simply to what they say, but to what's shown about their heart. So that's probably enough for that, but another quotation, and it's nice to hear Francis's words rather than mine. So he asks, how are we treating the people of God? I dream of a church that is a mother and a shepherdess. The church's ministers must be merciful, take responsibility for the people, and accompany them like the Good Samaritan, who washes, cleans, and raises up his neighbour. This is pure gospel. God is greater than sin. And perhaps that's one of the paradoxes, I guess, that if you take sin seriously, as Francis does, but you're overwhelmed by the compassion of God, you're not going to be talking very much about sin. People discover that. You discover sin, really, when you discover compassion. It's when somebody really loves you, it's then that you can acknowledge your failings, isn't it? And thirdly then, just to round this off, that the gift that the church brings to the world is compassion. So compassion is at the centre also of the way we in the church should face the world outside the church. That what we bring is not enmity, it's not hostility, it's not even superiority. What we bring is compassion. This is Pope Francis's take. And so in his sermon on Lampedusa, on that island, you can see how he, so here he's dealing with, it's really a political situation, but it's also above all a human situation of lives being lost and of people being locked up and so forth and so on. So how does the church work within that situation? What does it bring? So he says in his sermon, Adam, where are you? Cain, where is your brother? These are the two questions which God asks at the dawn of human history, and which he also asks each man and woman in our own day, which he also asks us. But I would like to ask a third question. Has any one of us wept because of this situation and others like it? And that's the asylum seekers dying at sea and being locked up. Has any one of us grieved for the death of these brothers and sisters? Has any one of us wept for these persons who are in the boat? For the young mothers carrying their babies? For these men who are looking for a means of supporting their families? We're a society which has forgotten how to weep, how to experience compassion, suffering with others. The globalisation of indifference has taken from us the ability to weep. In the Gospel, we have heard the crying, the wailing, the great lamentation. Rachel weeps for her children after Herod, it's in the Gospels, isn't it, when Herod kills the children, because they are no more. Herod sowed death to protect his own comfort, his own soap bubble. Let us ask the Lord to remove the part of Herod that lurks in our hearts. Let us ask the Lord for the grace to weep over our indifference, to weep over the cruelty of our world, of our own hearts, and of all those who, nameless, make social and economic decisions which open the door to tragic situations like this. Has anyone wept? Today, has anyone wept in our world? That's very powerful, isn't it? It's very, very powerful writing and speaking and powerful ideas. But the key thing there, I think, is that where faith has gone, faith leads him, it's into compassion. It's not, first of all, to be bashing up people, whether it be people smugglers or whether it be politicians or whether it be whatever. But it's to focus on the people. It's about compassion for people. In this situation, there are people who are suffering. That's the first thing. But secondly, when he then looks at the world, what is it that he notices? That what he notices is the way in which the world works, the unjust ways in which the world works, so that there is no space for people like this. He asks a question, why is the world like this? Why do we reject people like this? What is it about the way we construct our economies, about the priorities we have for our own lives, about the part that money plays within our world? What is it that leads to this? So when he's looking at the world, it's the way in which particularly the poor are treated. It's compassion then leads him to ask, why does this happen? So that's his approach to the world. So it's a bit different, that there's always something to be said, surely, for you know, if the church has enemies, something to be said for refuting them. But for the Pope, that's a sideline. The important sideline, maybe, but the key is compassion. In what we say and in what we do, do people see God's compassion? That's the heart of the film, what he's about. So the question, I guess, a bit, then to finish with is, question I leave you with and I leave myself with is, well, just entering, if you like, the mind of Pope Francis, and particularly that understanding of sin, of compassion, but the way in which the church is a church of compassion, and compassion's the way that our faith expresses itself. What might this mean for us today?
That was Father Andrew Hamilton, SJ, with The Faith of Pope Francis. Evenings with Pope Francis was an initiative of Catholic Youth Services Sydney. And for more talks, interviews and shows, visit cradio.org.au.